everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray back after a couple of days off, took a nice little jaunt down to Bisbee. Ray tells me they actually had some rain. What is that? We haven't had rain here. I don't know if we'd even recognize it. It's been so many months without rain here, and now we're back with the excessive heat. Kind of a mini excessive heat warning for a couple of days, unlike that protracted week-long excessive heat warning earlier in the summer. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our worldwide live listening. You can hear this program, and people do, anywhere in the world, by going to BuckmasterShow.com, and of course KVOI, the fine website here at the station, podcasts, all of our archived programs, pretty much 6.5 years of radio programs since I started the radio project at BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line is open anytime during the hour. You would like to join in and enhance the conversation, 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show, and of course, we're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show and Facebook, of course. Former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods and former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson have teamed up to spearhead a campaign aimed at overturning restrictions on initiatives in this state. The name of their effort is called Voters of Arizona. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the co-chair of Voters of Arizona, Grant Woods, who served as Arizona's Attorney General from 1991 through 1999. Grant, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well. Did you get over the jet lag from Italy? You had a nice, almost a month over there teaching as part of your ASU teaching duties.
Yeah, I did. It took a few days, that's for sure, because there's a 9-hour time difference, but yeah, I'm back at it, but I had a really good experience over there. I had some great law students from around the world, a couple from Arizona, and it was really a good experience. And it's tough duty because I had to be in Florence, Italy there for a month, and someone has to do those things.
The pictures you posted were really amazing from Florence.
Thank you.
It's hard not to take a good picture.
Yeah,
Florence.
Exactly right. It's one of my favorite places. For sure.
These two bills, House Bill 2244 and House Bill 2404, that passed through the legislature, in effect blocking the citizens of Arizona to the initiative process. This is very troubling, Grant.
Yeah, it is. I think I think the context is some of the folks down there. They didn't like some of the things that have passed recently, and so I think they're just trying to make it as difficult as possible for the people to express their views and to make law themselves when the government doesn't respond to the will of the people. It's funny in a sense because that's the whole point of the initiative process. The fact that they don't like what the people themselves ultimately decide, well, that's really too bad, because that's why we have an initiative process, and we've had it from the beginning here in Arizona. So I think a lot of these people forget where they live. You know, we're a Western state. Our forefathers were obviously a very hardy bunch, people who came out here to Arizona and founded our state when pre-air conditioning and all of that. I mean, they were a tough group. And the one thing they didn't want was for the government to be too omnipresent or too oppressive, certainly not from Washington. They fought that from the beginning, and also not here in our own state. They always wanted to have the ability of the people to block what the government does, or to just strike out on their own and when the government doesn't respond. So I think it is troubling. You're right that they're just, they can't get rid of that because it's part and parcel to Arizona, and it's part of our constitution. They'd have to change the constitution. So what they do is they just try to make it more and more difficult for average people to fight back against the government.
So let's talk a little bit about there would be at least two referenda. Let's go over each of these, dive a little deeper into what is at stake here and why you and Paul Johnson, who I believe it's Paul's birthday actually today.
Yeah, it is. You're right. I just heard that.
Yeah, it is. Why you guys formed this Voters of Arizona?
Okay. Well, they had a number of measures. I think what they didn't like was the minimum wage. This is what kind of got them fired up. It passed, and a lot of the powers that be didn't like that, which is fine. You know, everyone has their opinion on that, but the people spoke. So they decided to make it more difficult. So they tried a number of things. Two of them passed, and those are the things that we're fighting. I think probably the most troubling one is they passed a bill to overrule what the courts have held regarding how closely an initiative has to dot the I's and cross the T's, whether it has to be, if it's just in substantial compliance, which is what the law is now, if you're generally in the ballpark, you've done it right, it's obvious what the public wants, it's obvious what it's supposed to say and what's trying to be accomplished, that's good enough. Let's not try to throw people out on technicalities. Well, they've gone now and changed that substantial compliance to strict compliance. Meaning, basically, if there's anything that is not quite right with what the citizens have written up, the whole thing can be tossed, and that's just very problematic because lawyers can't even agree on these things, much less just average people. So I think it's just a way to try to get things thrown off the ballot. And, if you've got lawyers in there fighting and saying, well, look, this isn't exactly word for word, letter for letter correct, so it's not in strict compliance, things will get thrown out. So that's a real problem here. If they want to change the Constitution, the language of the Constitution, they can go try that. They don't want to do that because the public would have to vote on that, and they wouldn't pass it. So that's one of the things we want to get rid of.
Yeah, before we move on to the other one, about the strict compliance, would that mean that if there was anything that didn't seem right in that whole petition drive, it could throw out the entire measure?
Yes, yeah. And I think the courts, the Arizona Supreme Court, has taken a much more common sense approach, and that is, look, as long as you're substantially in compliance, we know what we're trying to do here. We're not going to throw you out on these sort of technicalities. This is the whole point of this is to listen to the people, and that means we're not going to throw people out on technicalities. We're going to say, okay, we get it. And this is basically right. Yeah, maybe this could have been worded differently. Okay, fine. But we're not going to throw it out for that because we're going to try to listen to the public. And that's what the courts have held, and they don't like that now, so they're going to try to change that.
Now, the other one?
That's one.
The other
one? The other one is, the way it works now, everywhere, you have to get signatures to put something on the ballot. It's very burdensome. It's difficult to get signatures, and generally people get paid to go out and pass signatures, pass petitions and get signatures, because that's the only way you can get enough. But whether you do that or don't do that, what they've said now is if there's any signature that is found to be forged or fraudulent or something like that, that the committee that's been formed for this particular issue, that committee and its members can be held liable for that fraud or forgery. Okay, and so and they put a $1,000 fine per violation, So, you know, you have what, so here realistically, let's just see how this works. Let's say you and I and some other folks in Tucson and in Phoenix, we get 10 people in groups, and this is what we want to try to put on the ballot. And then we get a bunch of volunteers, and we raise some money, and we get people to pass them pass petitions. And we don't know anything about it. We've taken every step to make sure everything is exactly right. And we assume everything's right. There's no evidence to us. They all look right. And it turns out that one of these jokers, some guy in front of a library, just wrote in a bunch of names, and he did it, you know, 10 times. Well, now, the way it works now is that those names would be thrown out. And if we could find that guy committed some, we could prosecute him. Well, what they want is then not only that, but you and I and everybody else on our committee, we're going to be liable for a $1,000 fine per violation.
Well, that both of these then really have a chilling effect.
Well, they really do, because what's going to happen is then, and that's their point, is you and I aren't going to be on a committee. We're going to go, hey, you know, we'll fall for it, but
I don't need this. Yeah,
I don't need this.
I
can't go out and monitor the guy at the library and make sure that he's not writing some names in to try to make an extra $5.
All right. Grant Woods, we're going to take our first break here. Stick around. We'll come back with you, and we'll talk specifically about what the initiative and the petition drive that you are involved with, what that would do. This is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things, our friends over at 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River Walk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com, their website. Again, with the excessive heat warning, our friends at Green Things urging all of us, if you're doing any gardening, do that watering early morning and early in the evening. We'll be right back with Grant Woods. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Friday at noon, Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. Also joining me in the questioning, Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. On our live line, former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods and Attorney General Woods, along with former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson, are leading this effort, this campaign to overturn restrictions on two initiatives passed. Well, the restrictions on initiatives, and this would overturn some work done by the most recent Arizona legislature. Attorney General Woods, what do you need as far as valid signatures and by when to kind of block these measures from taking effect?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. We've got it's tough. And I actually don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's a lot.
I think so. We've kind of got a 75,000, actually.
Yeah, that's the problem. And so, which is ironic, you know, I mean, here they are trying to, you know, try to make it difficult to collect signatures, and you've got to get signatures to overturn that. I mean, it's kind of crazy. But we've got basically a two-pronged approach. We did sue them. And on the substantial compliance versus strict compliance issue, that our they need to change the Constitution basically in order to do that. I think we've got a pretty good argument on that. And so that lawsuit is ongoing, and I think we'll get a ruling on that here soon. They've been taking depositions, and there's arguments coming up on that. So we could knock that one out through the courts, and I would say that's the biggest one. I mean, that's the biggest problem, that one right there, because I just think it's just going to be it's going to be great for lawyers in the future if this holds. But not for anybody else, because they'll just be trying to throw things out right and left. On the other one, the fines for the committees, there's not a lawsuit on that. That's just going to have to be by signature. So we're going to have to get, and of course, you don't have to just get 75,000. You've got to get a lot more than that, because a lot of them get thrown out. So we're trying there. But I'm hopeful we could just win outright in court. And if we did that, that would be great. And we would have, we would have already been successful.
These two new measures that were passed by the legislature, when are they supposed to then take effect?
Well, I think they go into effect normally, isn't it, 90 days?
Yes.
After they were passed, and they were passed at the end of the session. So I guess that would put us, into the summer. So that's going to be a problem.
If we didn't have this initiative process, what would be some of the kind of the landmark measures that never would have gotten done in this state?
Yeah, just in my time, I've been involved in so many of them that that I don't think the legislature ever would have passed. For example, term limits. And I'll just run through a couple that I've been involved in. One is term limits. And that passed. They obviously weren't for that. We have an independent redistricting process in Arizona. We took it away from the legislature because it seemed like an inherent conflict that they were setting their own boundaries. They certainly never would have done that. While I was over in Italy, we had the 20th anniversary of our tobacco lawsuit that I was involved in, suing the tobacco companies. Right after we won that, we went to the ballot to make sure that all the monies we got from the tobacco lawsuit would go toward tobacco-related issues or health care issues and not be spent on other things. That's proved to be, and it passed. Otherwise, it would have just been up to the legislature. And in many other states, they have blown all that money on other things. They literally sold it off in some states to private companies and took a lump sum payment to balance their budget or something. So now they're completely out, or they spent it on other things. In Arizona, again, it's all gone toward health care issues, which was the point of the lawsuit. And as of right now, we've received $1.8 billion from the tobacco lawsuit, and that goes on in perpetuity. So, again, all of that money's gone for the right reasons. I don't think it would have had it gone to the legislature. We banned steel jaw traps. That certainly never would have happened. I doubt that medical marijuana would have happened. That passed. There's just a ton of them. I mean, it's and they're kind of all over the map. Some of them are conservative, and some of them are more moderate. I think the public is very thinking in Arizona, and they've done a good job over the years. For the most part, in speaking out. And that's the point, you know. The legislature, especially in Arizona, I think just the way it's worked out, I have always felt there's a big disconnect between what the legislature spends most of its time on and what the public cares about. I used to think they were pretty far right, and a lot of extreme measures that they worked on when I was Attorney General in the 90s, and now I look back at it, and those are kind of the glory days. I long for those guys to be back.
Tell me, on that tobacco lawsuit, how long, when does that sunset?
Never.
It doesn't?
As long as they're in business, they got to keep paying, and so... You know, we end up getting it's a lot of money, and, you know, it's real money. So, that was a good one. I was ordered by the governor to dismiss the lawsuit because he said it would end up costing Arizona money, and obviously he was wrong on that.
Do you see any similarities with the OxyContin issue and tobacco?
I do, and I'm involved in that. I'm one of the lawyers in a couple of the states that have sued, and I'm encouraging other states, including Arizona, to get involved and sue some of the manufacturers. I think the there's differences for sure, but one of the differences is the pharmaceutical companies do a lot of good, and they have. They do a lot of good things for the country and for mankind, and they've just lost their way on the painkillers and opioids, in my view. And the similarities are that when they realized what was going on and how bad the situation was, instead of correcting it, which they could have done, they exacerbated the problem. They just saw a gold mine here with these painkillers, and so they actively and heavily marketed them as if they weren't addictive, and as if they were appropriate for long-term pain relief. And when you get these painkillers, Percocet or whatever we're talking about here, let's say following an operation or something like that, boy, you just got to be so careful with them because they are unbelievably addictive. And so, you know, I finished as Attorney General in 1999. There was no opioid problem in Arizona. There was no heroin problem in Arizona. It was practically non-existent. And yet today, because of these painkillers and the state and the country being awash in them, it is an existential crisis in our state and in other states. We have, we're seeing, I think the, and Governor Ducey is showing great leadership in trying to enact measures to start recognizing this problem and deal with it. But I think we just saw like 109 in the last month, 191 overdoses in Arizona.
Yeah, that's horrible.
The majority of those in Pima County and Maricopa. We're seeing three people at least die each week here just in our state from opioid overdose.
That's horrible.
So what happens is, you know, people get addicted to these just like that, very quickly. And these aren't bad people. These are people who, you know, it just happens because they, you know, maybe they had back surgery or something like that. Next thing you know, they're addicted. And it turns out that heroin is the same thing, basically, it's cheaper.
Yep.
On the streets. And so, yeah, I think we need to. Here's my goal. My
gotta
goal
go real
is the public
quickly.
Health yep. side of this. Okay. I want them to be part of the solution. And it's a public health crisis, and I want the pharmaceutical companies to get in line.
Grant Woods, thank you very much. We'll go to the website, Voters of Arizona. Is it .org or .com? Voters of Arizona for your initiative drive.
That'd be great. And we appreciate everybody's help and support and appreciate you taking the time to shine a light on the issue, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Grant Woods with us. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway for the weekend. It's 3 hours from Tucson. And here's the good news. 15 degrees, usually cooler in an area with so much to offer with hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City or relaxing in a very lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for more information. We'll be right back.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Back, time for our summer edition of what we're calling now Buckmaster Travel with our travel industry contributor, Ryan Hansen. Ryan is president and chief operating officer at Bon Voyage Travel, which for more than 40 years has been delivering and doing it a great job. Rating of a 10 on a wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through four offices and a very strong internet presence at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. Ryan, how are you? How's the summer going so far?
Summer's great. Vacationers are off and running. And, you know, our hilarious joke in the office is our job is to get people away, get you out of here, especially right now with the weather in Tucson and Southern Arizona, maybe not as seasonal for most. I guess it is seasonal, being that it is the summer, but getting people
unusual
away.
Unusual heat
yeah,
here.
We've got another one coming this weekend.
We do. And as you know, my Buckmaster Show Facebook friends, all 5,000 of them, I'd say most of them are pretty avid travelers. We posted, where have you been this summer? Where do you want to go? And folks posted pictures everywhere from Lake Como to Africa. Anything with water seemed to be really nice.
And I think I'm just going to help you out here. We need to add a hashtag.
Okay.
And I've got it ready.
Ready.
Where in the world is Buckmaster?
There you go.
Hashtag where, let's get that trending right now. Hashtag where in the world is Buckmaster? We know you've been to over 100 countries.
Yep.
And yeah, the listeners, talk about a wide range of people that love the Mediterranean, love the Caribbean, and some way far out of the way places, which I love to see. I think was Burma in there? There was some really unique spots.
We've had some very unusual places for the Buckmaster travel, pretty much everywhere from Albuquerque to Zimbabwe. How about that?
I'm not sure if the city of Albuquerque would love that you're putting them in the off the beaten path. They might want to be more traditional.
Yeah, but. You know, it's the trip we did to Tahiti and the Cook Islands. Sure. A lot of people were saying, Bill, why didn't you call into your own show to tell us how it was going? Because people really were curious about, right. You know, the Cook Islands and Tahiti. So maybe the next big trip we do, we'll have to call in and maybe do a little interview with myself and whoever's guest
I love it.
Hosting. You've got almost a bucket list type trip that's coming up here in a couple of days.
You bet, pretty close. I'm leaving on Saturday, and this is one of the things we always love to talk about are the reasons for travel. We talk so much about history, food, architecture, culture. Well, this one is really, truly a family trip. I'm getting to check off the bucket list of getting to Normandy, which my grandfather fought. Now, we've talked about this in the past.
We have talked. You've wanted to go for years.
It's been the number one spot on my list, and I get to go to Normandy by way of a river cruise that departs out of Paris. So we'll stay a couple nights in Paris and then 5 nights on the river on the Seine as we go up and down the Seine up to Normandy and then back. So not only will I get to check that off my bucket list for my family connection going to my grandfather, we're going to be taking our two boys who are 11 and 8 years old with us. So this will be their opportunity to hopefully experience something that is very instrumental into our country's past, but obviously our family's past as well. This is our boys' first trip to Europe in addition to that. So when you couple Paris with Normandy and we're tacking on an extra post-stay, we're going to take the train up to London. It really truly rings all the bells of the family trip. And one special thing about the river cruise that we're taking, it's the company that's operating the river cruise is called Tauk, and they are really good in the escorted tour range.
Highly respected group.
One of the best. They've been in the business for over 90 years at creating these very intricate, customized, and unique itineraries, getting to do things that not the regular traveler does. So at Normandy, and actually the entire programming on this particular cruise, it's called their Bridges program. It's all geared towards children 8 to 18 years old. So our kids in Normandy will be able to use working walkie-talkies and radios that were actually used on the beaches
How cool is that for these kids?
They'll get to sit in a Jeep that was actually used at the beaches there at Omaha, Utah, etc.
Lifetime memories being created for the Hansen family with this trip. This is going to be one of those trips. The kids will talk about the rest of their lives.
That's right. It's not just about checking off the stamp in the passport or the check on the bucket list. It's really, truly an experience for them, but you know this as well. I've had a lot of people ask me, is 8 years old, your 8-year-old son, is that too young to go to Europe? He'll never remember it. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I'm sure you do as
well. Yeah, I mean, kids can remember stuff that goes back, 3-4 years old, but certainly by 8, the memories are really going to start
I will remember their experience. They will be bonded to us, and maybe he doesn't remember the dish that we ate at Le Grand Colbert in Paris, which we will be dining there. I don't know if you've seen the movie Something Has to Give with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Something's Got to Give. Oh. That's the Parisian restaurant that they're in at the end.
I love that movie.
So, of course, my wife is a huge fan. That's another thing we love to do with our travels is go and stay, eat, or see places that we've seen in movies or television. And so we'll be dining. I'm sure my 8-year-old won't remember his appetizer there, but he'll remember the experience, the love, the time together abroad.
Well, I kind of like to do that, too. A movie was called The Love Affair with Warren Beatty.
Sure.
Was filmed on the island of Moorea, where we were on this last trip, and it was fun to see that movie again after we got home. And it's just like, hey, we were there. I can't believe it, but we were there.
Another tidbit I'll throw in, since we're talking about other things that kind of tie travel in, one of the really special things that Tauk does for all of their passengers is they email or send you suggested reading prior to your trip departure. So about 3 months ago, they sent us a list of books either on Paris, on Versailles, which is one of our stops, or obviously Normandy, that were kid-friendly and also adult-friendly so that we could be more educated. So for your listening audience is a more educated, more articulate traveler. Again, not just everybody loves sun and sand relaxing with the Mai Tai on the beach, but I think your listening audience appreciates some of the finer things and some of the educational value that comes out of it. I think your listening audience would love that, to have some of that documentation delivered to you so you can prepare for your
trip. And the river cruises, there's no question, this is really the hottest segment of the travel industry right now.
It definitely
is. When it comes
is.
To Europe, but it's not just Europe. They're doing them really all over the world, Asia.
They really are. And so that's something to think about. Yeah. If you want to go to Vietnam, if you want to be in that area, you can definitely go and sail the Mekong. And not really something that most people are saying, hey, I want to go to Vietnam by myself. I'm going to bounce around the country and figure this all out. No, this can help you be able to see and do something very unique, but in a safe, in an escorted way that makes it fun and you get to know your fellow passengers and see things you would never see.
And your team at Bon Voyage Travel, these are people that are very well traveled, and that's, of course, one of the qualifications for the job, but not just well traveled. These are very friendly people and open to talking with the client, with the customer. and say, what do you really want out of this experience?
There's so much information out there, right? You can find information about traveling anywhere in the world.
TripAdvisor, whatever, start, do your homework
you
there.
You know it. There's a difference between information and insight. Yes. You know, I can get information, but am I really able to glean the most important things that mean to me? And that's, I appreciate your commentary about our staff. We're not travel agents anymore.
No.
It's all about advice. It's about consultation. It's a collaborative effort these days, and we love when people come in with information and they know what they want. That helps us craft a more meaningful trip that obviously for us will bring them back to us to help them go to a whole new destination in the future.
Bon voyage to you and the Hansen family. That's going to be a great trip to Europe, the river cruise. Check out Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan, your team, really, you've put together such a great team over there. And a good starting place, BV for Bon Voyage Travel.com, or just even Google it, Bon Voyage Travel Tucson. It's going to come up. Talk to the, give them a call, say you heard it on the Buckmaster Show, and just go from there. They'll put you in touch with the great people.
You bet. Where in the world is Buckmaster?
There
Get
you
that
go.
Hashtag trending right now.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Safe travels to
Thanks,
you, my
Bill.
Friend. All right. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events
just for kids, now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to go on the live line and speak with attorney Don Luce. Don, of course, comes on our program once a month. He is the legal contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Don Luce of Luce, Brown, and Hobkirk, attorneys at a law. Luce, Brown attorneys have three offices, two in Phoenix, one on River Road here in Tucson. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don is with us, joining us from Mexico. I believe he is in Puerto Penasco. Hello, Don.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. You've got a pretty good phone line out of Mexico there.
Not bad. And by the way, it's San Carlos today, but nonetheless, it is Mexico.
It is San Carlos. All right. I'm sure it is it any cooler down there than it has been up here? All relative.
Any place is cooler than where it is in Tucson. Anyway, no, it's beautiful here, and we've been enjoying the ocean. I'm here with my family. We've been snorkeling and fishing, and I was listening to your previous interview. And I thought, yeah, that was really apropos, given the fact that I myself am on vacation today.
Yeah, it fits in beautifully. It's a great segue. How about new laws normally kick in, I think, around July 1st? Some of the laws, I think it's 90 days from the conclusion, the adjournment of the state legislature. But July 1st, the mandatory paid sick leave kicked in for Arizona employees, didn't it?
That's right. That's the second part of Prop 206. The first part of Prop 206 took effect on January 1st, and your listeners will recall that that was the part that dealt with the increase in minimum wage in Arizona from $8.05 an hour to $10 an hour. And the minimum wage provision is actually scheduled to phase in to $12 an hour in the year 2020. But on July 1st, the paid sick leave provision of the law kicked in. And so I thought it would be interesting to go through some of those provisions, because it is now the law in Arizona that employers must provide paid sick leave for their employees.
Yeah, let's go over that. Let's kind of dive deep into this, because along with the kind of the increase in the minimum wage, this is really this is going to impact Arizona employers. Let's go through where do we begin?
All right. So let's start with what it is. It is a law that requires employers to provide their employees with paid sick leave. First of all, you need to determine whether your employees are actually covered or whether they're excluded. Most employees in Arizona are covered. I'll tell you that at the beginning, but there are some excluded workers, and they are people who are employed by a parent or a sibling, persons performing babysitting services on a casual basis, and then also state and federal workers are not covered by the paid sick leave law. But other than that, if you're employing people, whether it's 1 or 5,000, this law is going to apply to you. The second thing that you need to do if you have employees who are covered by this law is determine whether you're required to accrue 24 hours a year or 40 hours a year for your employees. And that determination is made by how many employees you have. So if you have less than 15 employees, then you have to accrue at least 24 hours for those employees every year. And the way that works out is it's 1 hour for every 30 hours worked. If you have 15 or more employees, then you have to accrue at least 40 hours per year for each employee. So depending on the type of employees that you have and depending on the size of your business will determine the number of hours, if any, that you need to accrue for your people.
There is concern, Don Luce, I think among the small business owners, some apprehension about this. Is it safe to say that some kind of paid leave is fairly commonplace, certainly for more than for employers with more than 15 employees, correct?
Well, it is. Most large and medium-sized employers already had paid time off provisions. And for those employers, there's not going to be any change because their paid time off provisions already complied with the minimum requirements of the paid sick leave law, which just took effect on July 1st. I would guess that with regard to some of the smaller employers, you know, those employing 2, 5, 7 people, they may not have in every instance been giving their employees 1 hour for every 30 worked, which is now the requirement. And so for those employers, there may be some significant economic impact, especially because if an employee doesn't use their accrued paid sick leave, then it rolls over or can be cashed out. And, you know, that is another expense that the small employer is going to incur.
Can we talk a little bit about the paid sick leave and the scope of the reasons that would be covered under these provisions?
Sure. So paid sick leave can be used for medical care, which would be related to mental or physical illnesses, injuries, or health conditions. But it can also be used to take care of sick family members. And interestingly, the family members do not need to be blood relatives. It can also be used for time necessary to deal with issues like domestic violence or sexual assault or abuse or things of that nature, which are specifically written into the statute. So the takeaway is it's very broad. And basically, if an employee wants to use his or her paid sick leave for anything that has to do with those subjects that we just discussed, that is fair, and the law contemplates that that is what the paid sick leave is for.
What about employees who are terminated? Can they then, are they entitled to cash out, if you will, on the unused sick leave?
No, they aren't. That is the one. That is the one exception regarding the cash out. Employees who are terminated are not entitled to cash out on their unused sick leave.
But if an employee decides to leave for another job, that would be they would be able to cash out under those circumstances?
Generally, an employee who is terminated with or without cause or quits is not entitled to cash out. That's the general rule.
Is this type of law pretty common in the United States, or is this one a hybrid, or is it pretty much in line with what other states have been doing, Don Luce?
There are numerous other states that have comparable statutes, and Arizona is essentially following the trend, which nationally is to provide paid sick leave for employees who work either on a full-time, part-time, or even seasonal basis.
Don Luce with us, and Don has two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers and estate planning in Arizona. You're going to have to update the Arizona Laws 101. It's already in its second edition, but you'll be doing your homework after this current session of the legislature. There's always a bunch of goodies in there. Don Luce, thank you very much. We very much appreciate your support of our program, and enjoy the rest of your 4th of July week holiday down in San Carlos.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
I sure will.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Don Luce on the live line with us on the Buckmaster Show from Mexico. Don Luce with Luce Brown and Hobkirk, attorneys at law. Don has a really nice office, beautiful office here in Tucson, very conveniently located on River Road. So if you need any kind of legal services, Don Luce is the man to turn to. All right, the Buckmaster Show, wrapping it up on this Thursday. We've got the mayor as our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Mayor Rothschild will be with us, and joining me in the questioning of the mayor will be Dylan Smith. When I say that questioning, you think of like a bare light bulb. Yes, Mayor, what about this? All right. Anyway, we've got Mike Jack with Ray Allen and our friend Mike Shaw coming up this afternoon. And then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9 tomorrow morning. On behalf of Ray Allen, Ray, it's good to have you back on the other side of the glass. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Try to stay cool. Excessive heat warning. Have a great afternoon and evening.